Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, once again, in for Abraham Hamilton III. I'm your host tonight, E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again tonight. And folks, I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction today than I normally do. I'm going to come back to some issues. But I want to start out, first of all, talking about some things that I think undergird some of the stuff that we are seeing. Some of you know that I've embarked on something called the Truth Tour. I've got about 6 engagements scheduled already between now. I haven't even gotten to September yet, and 6 engagements planned, because when I announced this, a lot of people got interested. It's called the Truth Tour, Untold Facts About American History. And I'm going to be talking about our history from a truth perspective, from a biblical perspective, to give people some sense of why America became so great. What is it that's so special about our country? And have we been told the truth about American history? I'm convinced that most of what's been taught about American history has been either half-truths or just outright lies. Either half-truths or outright lies. And not intended to inform people or to give people truth about our history, but intended to indoctrinate people, intended to manipulate people, to give people a negative perspective on the country so that they would end up hating and resenting our country. You bring into that mix a bunch of Muslims from other countries who already hate the country, and they come here and they think their job here is to somehow promote anti-Semitism and promote anti-Americanism. And you join that with a bunch of people who have been indoctrinated in these systems that were intended to help them, to teach them really, to hate America. Then they join together with the help they get from these so-called refugees and these illegal aliens and people coming into the country who want to fly foreign flags and all that. And you really have a quite volatile mix. I mean, that's what you're seeing in New Jersey at the detention center for illegal aliens. That's what you're seeing at some of these protests against Israel and against Jews and against our country, frankly, and right now our conflict with Iran. I don't know quite what to call that. But all of that is undergirded, in my view, supported, if you will, by this false narrative about American history. And I'm going to be addressing that in the Truth Tour. In fact, my first engagement, first public engagement, is going to be at Matthews in Matthews, North Carolina, at Joy Church on the evening of June the 19th. So if you're in the North Carolina, Charlotte area, and you want to come, by all means, let us know. We'd be happy to see you there. I really should have the telephone number to call to RSVP. You don't have to RSVP, but we want to make sure we can accommodate everybody who wants to come. But Pastor Leon Threed is going to be my host. He's the pastor of Christian Assembly there in Charlotte, North Carolina. But he and Joy Church and a number of others who have gotten together to promote this event. But let me just say this, because I hope this will help you and anybody who's listening to better understand why we see the crazy things we see. And you kind of go, what? I mean, that's nuts. How can anybody think that way? I mean, for example, you see what's happening in California right now. What's the guy's name? Always get Graham Platner and Spence, this other guy, Spencer Pratt, who was leading. But as they count more and more mail-in ballots, he's now in third place. So it does appear at the moment that he won't make the runoff. He's not giving up yet. He said because there are a lot more ballots to be counted. But how do you continue to support people who you know lie and cheat? Folks, I don't have a bit of confidence in the California election process, not one bit. I mean, I think that thing is crooked through and through. But apparently, most people in California are quite accepting of it. I mean, a lot of this stuff they voted in, this is the same state that once had Ronald Reagan. What happened? What happened is, folks, you have a long period of promoting people through these indoctrination camps that we call public schools, really just might as well call them government indoctrination camps. And they promote people through those. They can't necessarily read well. They can't necessarily do math well. They don't become engineers. They don't become scientists. We have to import those people in because we're not educating the people that we're putting through. But we are certainly indoctrinating them to be ideologically far left. And you do that year after year after year after year. Do 12 years of government schools, and then you do it another 4 years in college, and then maybe you do it another 2 or 3 or 4 years in graduate school. By the time that person has finished that indoctrination process, you see them as acting crazy, thinking crazy, but they see us as thinking crazy because they have been thoroughly brainwashed. Thoroughly brainwashed. They don't understand how any other human being can think any other way because that's the bubble that they've lived in. And then you add to that the social pressure that they're put under through the mainstream, so-called mainstream media, really the leftist media, and the entertainment culture, and all of the, I mean, look, professional sports, if they're into sports, they're going to get it reinforced there. Everywhere they look, their view of life is going to be reinforced. And anybody who's not going along looks crazy to them. So you get these, I mean, I mentioned J-Lo and Ben Affleck. Each of them has a child who's decided that the gender they were born is not their correct gender. Coincidence? No. It's the world they live in. And you and I look at that and go, wait a minute. Why would you allow your minor child to change his or her gender? And they look at you and go, you mean to tell me you're against that? Well, what kind of monster are you? Because that's what cult-like brainwashing does to people. And this is a universal cult because it operates in the government schools because the unions control the government schools and control the curriculum. Let me give you one quick example. How many of you have heard of Howard Zinn? Probably a lot of you have. Some of you undoubtedly have. And Howard Zinn wrote a book called A People's History of the United States. And folks, it is the most influential history book in the history of our country. I mean, as a survey now. I mean, there may be other books that people have read and liked about particular aspects of American history. This is the most influential survey book in American history and on American history. It has permeated the government school system. And by the way, it's not that they use the text. It's that the text has influenced everything else that they do use. The teachers union swear by this thing. They've got a project called the Zinn Education Project. And they're constantly producing more materials for public school teachers to use in their classrooms. And it is all skewed leftist. The whole book is a polemic against the United States of America. To teach young people our country is evil, our country is bad. And nobody should love America. Nobody should be proud of America because America is built on evil and on exploitation and you name it. It is really a Marxist. Howard Zinn was a communist. He later denied, Howard Zinn was a communist, period. he never renounced communism. Although, you know, like a lot of people, like James Comey and like John Brennan, a lot of these people who were communists and then suddenly they weren't communists, but they never, you don't ever find a point at which they said, I renounce communism. It's bad. It's evil. I hate it. But somehow they become mainstream. I mean, John Brennan said he was shocked when the CIA, the first time he went to work with the CIA, he was shocked that they didn't ask him about his communist background. But they didn't. That's another story. My point is that we have an indoctrination system in our country that is producing all these people who are doing and thinking and speaking crazy. And you and I look at them and say, what in the world? How did you? And they look at us and say, I don't even know how you could think the way you think, because they have lived in this bubble all their lives. It has been reinforced in them all their lives. I mean, let me give you an example. That if you go to the Howard Zinn Project, you can look it up. The Howard Zinn Project, and I'm just going to give you one example. They have a program for four-year-olds, fourth graders. They have a class called Teaching, let me get the correct name of this thing. But it's about basically teaching about deportation. Teaching about deportation. And basically what they say is, what the course says, in effect, I'll find the exact name of this thing here shortly. But what the course in effect says is, America's deportation policy has been based upon, and I kid you not, this is for fourth graders, has been based upon kidnapping and racial profiling. That's what they say. The kidnapping, mass kidnapping, and racial profiling. In fact, yeah, they make it even sound a little bit worse than that. Racial expulsions is the term they use. This is what they're teaching fourth graders. And so they say, you look at America's immigration policy today in light of the fact that America as a country has always engaged in mass kidnappings and racial expulsions. Now, you and I think, what? But what does a fourth grader think? And if that fourth grader is told that in fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, 4 years of college, two to four or five years of graduate school, and then the person comes out and you and I say, hey, it's the law and we have a right to deport people who are not in our country legally, and they look at you and say, you actually buy into that evil system of mass deportations and racial expulsions? Of mass kidnappings? Mass kidnappings and racial expulsions? And you and I say, what? And they look at you and go, boy, I don't know how you became so ignorant. Everybody ought to know that, because that's really all that they know. And that's what the Truth Tour is going to address. We're going to address these lies. That basically the Howard Zinn book and system has promoted, and other things as well. I mean, some of you have heard me talk about this, and this is just one of the things that I'm definitely going to address this, because I think enough Americans don't know about it. The three-fifths clause of the Constitution. I mean, we've been told a complete and utter lie about that. I'll address that when I come back. And then go on to some other issues. I'm going to be taking some calls a little bit later on. In the meantime, this is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Now, I was started talking about the truth tour that I'm doing, Untold Facts About American History, and I just gave you an example of what kids hear, fourth graders, hearing about mass kidnappings and racial expulsions, that's what America's immigration policies have been. Kids, fourth graders. And you wonder why people are out protesting. Now, some of these people are paid, no doubt about that. But, you know, there's a vast number of people who have been indoctrinated into believing that these detention centers represent concentration camps and are part of the long history of America engaging in, again, mass kidnappings and racial expulsions. Now, folks, that's just an outright lie. It is just that plain and simple. I said most of what people know about American history is half-truths and outright lies. And that's just a small smattering. I started to hit the three-fifths clause. I mean, so most people have been taught that the Constitution under the three-fifths clause defined black people as three-fifths of a person. Now, most of you listening to me have probably heard that. And it is an absolute, unequivocal, palpable, contemptible lie. Now, look, I'm not in any way denying that America's had its share of racial problems, and that is a complex history that most people don't understand. I'm going to get into that, too. But the fact of the matter is the Constitution never defined a black person as three-fifths of a person. The three-fifths clause was simply a negotiated resolution of the issue of how many or what percentage of the slave population would be counted for purposes of congressional representation in each state. That's all it was. And it was based upon an agreement that had been entered into under the Confederate Articles of the Confederacy. I'm not talking about the Southern Confederacy during the Civil War, but the Articles of Confederacy that bound the colonies together before we established the Constitution of the United States of America and we became the United States of America. And it was simply a compromise because, of course, the slave master class wanted, and see, this is the irony of it, this is what's so ridiculous about our understanding. The slave master class wanted each black person counted as a whole person. Why? Because it would give them more congressional representation and therefore more power in Congress to protect slavery and protect their interests. The North and Northern representatives who had already done away with slavery weren't interested in enhancing the power of the South and did not want them counted at all. So the three-fifths clause was a compromise that frankly benefited slavery because it counted three-fifths of the slaves for purposes of congressional representation. If you'd counted them all, it would have given the South and the slave master class, really, because most people in the South weren't benefiting from slavery at all. I'll deal with that, too. But it would have given them virtually unchecked power in Congress. They would have had complete control based upon a population that had absolutely no political power whatsoever. But they've got the whole thing flipped as if the racists didn't want black people counted as a whole person. And so, you know, they say, well, how valuable is a black person? Well, about three-fifths of a human being. I mean, that bears absolutely no relationship to the truth whatsoever. So that's what I'm going to be doing with the Truth Tour. Now, why did I bring that up? Because I wanted to talk a little bit about this aspect of this. And I want to come from a little bit of a personal perspective here again. I said I was going to go a little different direction than what I normally go in. I was on my way to a National Association of Christian Lawmakers conference at Liberty University last week. And I got two phone calls from my bank, from two different branches of my bank. I won't say which where I bank, but two different branches. And each call was the same. Mr. Jackson, did you write a check for $1,400 payable to and named a person? And I said, that does not ring a bell for me. And since I'm not the only person with check writing authority, I checked with the only other person who does have and say, is this something that we paid? And no, absolutely not. Is somebody we paid something to? No, absolutely not. I said, no, we have absolutely no record of whatsoever. Well, when they went back to approach the person and said, well, the owners of this check, this checking account are denying, the person left the check at the bank. It was complete fraud. Well, I got a call from a second bank saying, did you write a check for $1,200 to so-and-so? So this is a different person. I said, absolutely not. And then we realized, two different accounts, but on the same entity. And to tell you the truth, it was on our church. And so I've got to go in. I've got to spend time in the bank. I got to close these accounts out because they've obviously been hit with counterfeit checks and fraud. But, you know, here's the thing I want to mention. Never any mention about prosecuting these people. And in one case, they had the license. They had a picture. They had the check. And the bank has absolutely no intention of prosecuting that person. And here's what I'm getting to. And by the way, if you all have not been hit with this, and I hope you haven't, one of the things that people at the bank said, there is an epidemic of this going on now. And we are encouraging people to get away from checks because they're stealing them. Then when they're sent to you, they steal them. You write a check, you mail a check, they open the mail, they take the check out, they have a way of erasing the ink you use to write the check. They say, you'll always write a check with a Uniball pen where the ink sinks into the paper, because if you don't, they have ways of erasing the ink and rewriting the check. Don't leave checks lying around anywhere, because apparently there's a big deal now to fraudulently take people's money by getting hold of checks or counterfeiting checks once you get a hold of the account number. And they said, you know, we're recommending to people, you know, just start wiring and using other means, because it's harder for people to get in the middle of that. Although, you know, thieves will pretty much do whatever they want to do. But look, folks, this comes back to the same thing. And Howard Zinn teaches this. People don't commit crimes because they're evil, because they're wicked. They commit crimes because of the injustice of our society, and the crime is really our fault. And therefore, people should not be punished. And I'm thinking to myself, this person walks into the bank, presents a fraudulent check. It's grand theft, because it's over $1,000. It's grand theft. I believe in our jurisdiction, that's grand theft. That's grand theft in most jurisdictions. Walks out with impunity. No consequences. Well, what do you think is going to happen? I'll just try it again. Because each time they do it, either it succeeds and they get some money, or it doesn't and they just walk away. I mean, this has to stop. You know, Jesus said iniquity would abound and the love of many would wax cold. The word iniquity is translated lawlessness. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the complete decimation of absolute standards of morality, and people are just buying into, well, you just do whatever you need to do, because after all, we live in an unjust system, and why not? I mean, somebody said recently, one of these leftists said, well, the corporations are stealing from everybody, so, you know, the fact that you steal from them is not a big deal. Yeah. In fact, you know who said that? This guy, Hassan Piker. Yeah, I don't think there's anything to get upset about, because they've been ripping people off anyway. Well, when I go buy something retail from a company either I agree that that's worth the value that I pay or I don't. If it's not, I walk away. If it is, I pay it. They haven't ripped me off. I've entered into a voluntary transaction. If I buy a car, I buy a widget, whatever it is, that's my voluntary choice to buy that. And if I don't like the price, I go look around. I've done it. I don't like the price, I'm go looking somewhere else. But they're not stealing from me if I voluntarily agree to pay what they're asking. But they want you to believe that when you go buy something, that's the equivalent of you being stolen from, and therefore you've got the right to go steal something. I mean, this is utter nuts. This is utterly nutty. But again, when you've been brought up in that and taught that over and over and over in grade after grade after grade and in college and in graduate school, guess what? Makes sense to you. So we have got to get, we're not going to save this country if we don't get people out of this indoctrination system. We're just not. I mean, other than God just miraculously awakening people and causing them to realize that they've been in a cult and they've been indoctrinated and then wake up to realize everything I've been taught has been a lie. And God can do that, and I pray that he will. But in the meantime, we need to be taking steps. That's why school choice is so important. We've got to get people rescued from these indoctrination camps that make them crazy and make them think we're crazy because we don't go along with it. And if we don't do that, and that's, by the way, that's what the Truth Tour is about. It's about my little contribution to trying to help people know the truth, because I guarantee you, even some conservatives will not know the things that I'm going to be talking about. They just won't know it. By the way, if you want to get me to come to your church, your organization, your community, churches, there's no fee for me to come to any church, by the way. I never charge a fee. I never have a minimum. You got to give me this. I need people to get me there, obviously, and pay my expenses to get there. But I don't ever charge a church a fee. I take whatever the church chooses to give me, and I don't negotiate that and say, well, no, it's got to be a minimum of this. But other organizations, depending on the nature of the organization, its size, its budget, and all that. But I'm interested in getting the word out. I'm not doing this to make money, folks. I got plenty to do. But if you want to find out more, call us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. Or you can email us at truthtour@standinc.net. That's truthtour@standinc.net. In the next segment, by the way, I'm going to be taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. I mean, I want to know what you think about this lawlessness, because just what's happening in California, to me, is part of the same thing. I mean, California's, by the way, pioneered this stuff. You know, as long as you don't steal over $950, it's okay. But I think they're stealing elections, and I think they're basically doing anything they think they need to do in order to get and keep power. And there are no rules that matter, just like what happened in Virginia. The court slapped down this referendum that they did because the court said, number one, you intentionally misled people. They lied, in effect. And number two, you didn't follow the constitutional procedure that is set forth in the Virginia Constitution. They completely ignored it. Now, you lied and you broke the law. And so the referendum struck down, even though they manipulated their way into winning. They got 1.5 million people in Virginia to vote for it. Why? Because they lied to them. And a lot of those people who voted for it are indoctrinated into believing, oh, yeah, we need to have 10 Democrat districts and one Republican district, because the Democrat districts, they're going to bring us social justice. And again, if you start teaching kids this, Ibram Kendi, this guy from BU, I think I mentioned this to you all before. He wrote a book called Anti-Racist Baby. You have to start teaching your children not to be racist at 3 months old. You know, in other words, you know, I don't know how you indoctrinate a 3 month old, but I guess they'll try. But then 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, and at the earliest possible moment, they want to indoctrinate that child to think a certain way, to think about social justice and racial justice and America's a terrible place. And you know, before you know it, that child thinks it's normal to hate the country, to resent America, to be bitter and angry against it. When I was at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, General Jerry Boykin, who some of you may know, General Jerry Boykin is a decorated war hero, former Undersecretary of Defense, one of the original special ops soldiers wounded twice in battle, just a dear friend, but a great man of God. He got up and spoke, and when he spoke, he said, it just breaks his heart after what he has done to try to serve and love this country, to have people, Americans, that he's fought for to preserve their liberty, to have them hate this country, hate it. But that's what we've got, folks. That's what we've got. We've got people who hate this country. That, by the way, the fraud going on in Minnesota. Oh, did Tim Walz know about this? Did Keith Ellison know about this? Of course they did. They don't care. They don't even consider it to be immoral. The only thing immoral is getting caught. They don't consider it to be wrong because these are oppressed people. These are victims. They deserve to raid the Treasury. I mean, it's the least we can do. And you look the other way because, after all, when the time comes, they're going to be there to help you stay in power. That's why they hate President Trump so much, because he's just basically mowing down this stuff wherever he finds it. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm going to be taking your calls when I come back. This is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner.
Quarter podcast and 1 minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
We're back, and the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Let me say one other thing, maybe a couple of other things, and I'm going to come right to your calls. This Iran situation, I believe that President Trump really does believe that Iran wants to make a deal. And I believe that there may be elements within the Iranian ecosystem that are saying that, but I don't believe that they really do. I just don't, because these people are psychos. They are Islamists, and they are religious fanatics who have an apocalyptic worldview. And I don't think President Trump is accustomed to dealing with people who basically suffer from a kind of madness. Although he ought to, dealing with Democrats. He ought to. Democrats. He ought to. I just don't believe it. And I have to say, I don't quite understand how they have seemed to have persuaded him that they really do want a deal, when every time you turn around, they're firing missiles, and or using drones, and basically they're keeping Hezbollah on the battlefield against Israel. I talked to some folks from Israel just this past week in Galilee, and they said, "Wow, I mean," they said, "Hezbollah is doing a job on them. They are really continuing to go after them." And frankly, without getting into details, they were a little bit disappointed that President Trump restrained Bibi Netanyahu. They said, because they think it would help the peace deal to just basically wipe Hezbollah out, because they're never going to stop fighting. They'll give it lip service, but they're never going to do it, because they're essentially the puppets of Iran. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And the other thing I'd say is this. I predicted, of course, that Spencer Pratt would not win the mayoral race in L.A. I didn't think that he would also get knocked out even before that, knocked out of the top two spots. But it looks like that's going to happen. But it's a testament to the corruption of the Democrat machine everywhere it has control. They're going to keep counting votes until they win. And that's what we're dealing with. I mean, the lawlessness that they promote in the streets of our cities is not just for the streets. It's for them, too. They do it in the smoke-filled halls of their little back rooms. These people have no standards whatsoever other than winning. I predict that Graham Plattner will win not only the nomination, but I predict that unless they knock him out, he'll win the U.S. Senate. Because I think they'll do everything in their power to cheat their way in. So this thing permeates. This is, Jesus said, lawlessness would abound. Well, folks, it's abounding. 888-589-8840 is the number. You can talk about anything I brought up, or you feel free to bring up a new subject as well. I'd be happy to entertain it because I know there's plenty to talk about. Let's go to Stephen in Maryland. Stephen, welcome.
Actually, I'm in Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Sorry about that. Yeah, I probably misread my
time on there. I have no idea why anyone is confused about what is going on in this world unless they're just not spending any time in God's Word, because He told us this is what it was going to do. If we go back all the way to Genesis and look at what Hagar was told by God about Ishmael, that he would be like a wild donkey, and he would be against everybody, and everybody would be against him. Mm-hmm. Oh, gee whiz, aren't the Islamists like that? And in the Quran, Ishmael is a gigantic prophet, okay, considered that way. And as far as the lawlessness, God told us this was going to happen in the end of days.
Yep.
And so the only thing I can say is two things. We took oaths to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. It is a blood oath. I'm 72 years old, and I'm still willing to fulfill my oath. And I believe you are too, my
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
Semper Fidelis.
Semper Fidelis. All right.
And so the only thing I can say to people that are confused is, shame on you for not spending more time in God's Word and learning what He told us the future would be.
Amen. Stephen, thank you for the call. Yeah, I mean, look, you are absolutely right. People sometimes say, well, we know which way things are going, so what is the point? And you said it on a strictly patriotic basis. We took an oath to the Constitution of the United States to preserve, protect, and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the same. And that oath never had an expiration date. And you're right. That is a blood oath. That is an oath that says, I will give my life defending that Constitution if necessary. I hope it never has to come to that. But you're right. That's the commitment that we have. But from a godly perspective, we have a commitment to stand up for righteousness. We have a commitment to stand up for truth. You know, I have to say, Jesus didn't go into the temple and plead and say, now, everybody, I want you all to understand this is really not right for you to be turning God's house into a den of iniquity. Would you all mind leaving? I mean, he went in there and took a scourge and whipped them out. Now, I'm not promoting going in anywhere and trying to whip people out with a scourge. My point is, Jesus was prepared to go all the way to defend what he knew was right. And of course, he ultimately gave his life defending what he knew was right. And he gave his life because he knew that was what was needed to defeat the devil. Because remember when Pilate said to him, is your kingdom of this world? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, because if my kingdom were of this world, he said, my servants, he said, my disciples would fight that I'd not be delivered. So, you know, I just trust it never comes to that. But I think we have to have a spiritual commitment to defending what we know is right at all costs, even if it costs us our lives to do so. And again, I'm not promoting violence in any way because I don't want it. I don't subscribe to it. I don't have any affinity for it whatsoever. I want to live in peace, and I want everybody else to live in peace. But who knows where this whole situation, where these people are going? I mean, look at what they're doing to ICE agents right now. Just look at the way they're behaving. I mean, if somebody say to an ICE agent, "We know you, and you're dead, and your family's dead." I mean, what in the world? And have you heard one Democrat denounce that behavior? 888-589-8840 is the number. Thank you for the call, Stephen. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to Nelson in Texas. Nelson, welcome.
Welcome, Mr. Jackson. Thank you for taking my call. As a Constitution coach myself, what can I do to help the people understand, and I also speak Spanish, help them understand that if we do not preserve our Constitution, our liberties, our country is moving in a bad direction. People want to change us from what we are now, a constitutional republic with democratic features, to something far worse. In your opinion, what can I do to help people learn more about the Constitution?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for what you are doing, Nelson. God bless you for it. And thanks for the call. We appreciate that. When you say you're a Constitution coach, you might be working with Rick Green, who's a friend of mine, and has a wonderful Patriot Academy down there in Texas, doing a wonderful job educating young people and others about how our Constitution works. Look, I would say keep doing what you're doing and look for more ways to do it, because look, it's going to take all of us working together to do this. That's why I'm doing the Truth Tour. It's going to take all of us working together in our own venues, cooperating with each other, helping each other wherever we can. But keep it up, man. Just keep it up and ask God to, the prayer of Jabez, Lord, expand my territory. Help me to reach more people. Help me to do more. Help me to be more effective. Help me to be more influential. We're not trying to build the kingdom for ourselves or a name for ourselves. We're trying to serve our country and save it from the devil's plan. So I would say, Nelson, keep doing what you're doing. Connect with us. We'd love to support you and help you in whatever ways we can. Go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us. Because I love what you're doing and praise God for you. Let's see. Let's go to Richard in Mississippi. Richard, welcome.
Hey, sir. How are you doing today?
I am blessed, Richard. How are you today?
Fantastic. I have a question. So we live in a little bubble here in Mississippi, and we've been very blessed to be in a small community with a very small school. And most of what the school teaches is online with what we believe. But we've homeschooled our kids for most of their lives. But I've got so many friends and family who want to homeschool, but they find the financial strain of it way too difficult because, you know, we live in a world now where having a one person bringing in income to the household it's very difficult to live. And I didn't know if you had any suggestions for those families that may want to do the homeschooling route, or I know you mentioned school choice, and that's something obviously that would be a blessing as well. But you know, here in Mississippi, we've got a little bubble that we live in the state in the area that I live. So we've got a nice little school, but even in that, we find with my fifth grader that there's just some things they're teaching them that we're just not on board with, and we're right on the verge of pulling them right back out of the public school and bringing them back to homeschool. I just know if you had any suggestions for families that were interested in doing it and that maybe needed help.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for the call. Look, and you are right. My wife and I, we've talked about it. And we said if we had to do over again, we would homeschool our children. We ended up spending a lot of money to send our children to Christian school. And it certainly was better than letting them go to government schools. But we found some deficits there as well. In this particular Christian school we sent them to, we had a couple problems there, too. It wasn't biblically grounded enough for us. I would say this. I would begin with prayer and let the Lord know, Lord, we want to homeschool our children, but financially it's just not workable. Work it out for us. You know, and then begin to take some steps maybe to think about, okay, how could we do this? How could we make this work? You know, maybe it's possible to do it starting maybe part time. And when I say part time, maybe one of you working part time, or one of the spouses working part time, and educating the children and providing some other way for them to be cared for in the half of the day or the part of the week that you have to work. I would just pray, though. I would begin by prayer. Lord, show us, help us, lead us, guide us. We want to educate our children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we don't believe that the school is going to do that. Certainly a public school is not going to do that. I'll tell you, I think homeschool education is really the very best education a child can have. And I've dealt with a lot of homeschool people. And I'll tell you what, my experiences with them have been great. Thank you for the call, Richard. Let's go to Ronnie in Alabama. Ronnie, welcome.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Bishop Jackson. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
I would like to suggest that we should consider the very beginnings of this situation with the United States and Iran, when President Trump first decided to attack, along with Israel. And at the very beginning, when he announced all this, he said that the way to end this was the unconditional surrender of the regime in Iran. So I would like to suggest that everybody consider that, and then consider everything that's happened in between, and the comment that the president made about Netanyahu, he doesn't call the shots. Well, I suggest he does for his own country's defense. And I would suggest Amen. That it's not President Trump that's been calling the shots, but it's that it is the Iranians. Thank you, Bishop.
All right. Thank you, Ronnie. Look, I think that's what this is ultimately going to come down to. And I have immense respect for the president, for his negotiating skill. But I just don't think the president of the United States has ever dealt with people who are fanatical and just literally crazy, and who think that if they got a nuclear weapon and launched it against Israel and against us, it would bring the 12th Mahdi into place, and we would end up with a worldwide caliphate ruling over everybody. I mean, these people are nuts. And I think he's going to have to bring them to their knees. It's just that plain and simple from my perspective. Folks, it's been great as always. Thank you all so much for your prayers and your support. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III. And until next time, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.